The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Wear galoshes so you can step over the human waste in the streets. Welcome to the program. So look, I wake up this morning early, go on the internet, and I stumble on a story on Newsmax. Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage. Apparently, the vermin on the left have scoured all of my past tapes to try and nail, I guess, me and Trump to a cross. I don't know what they think they're going to achieve with this, but Trump was on my show on October 6, 2015, and during the meeting, we talked about a lot of things. It was a long interview, and they found something, this cretin, Michael Isikoff, a loser of the highest order, a left-wing fanatical hack, and so they run the story on Yahoo News. Tape shows Trump contradicting himself again on Putin meeting. I don't know why that's a big deal. And then they write the story, President-elect Donald Trump told a radio interviewer. Well, that's a step up, Michael. Now I'm a radio interviewer. That's nice. I'm no longer a right-wing ideologue. That he had met Vladimir Putin one time, a long time ago, and that he got along with him great. A statement with the conflicts with his later denials during the campaign that he'd ever met or spoken with the Russian president. The newly surfaced audio tape, like a big investigative report here, uncovered by a political opposition research group. You know who that is, don't you? The most perverted, sick people in America, who even Joseph Stalin would have found too extreme, could fuel new questions about the precise nature of Trump's past relations with the Russian president. All right, you get the whole picture. On the newly uncovered audio tape, like they did a Pulitzer Prize search here, released by the Democratic Coalition Against Trump, Trump discusses Putin with conservative radio host Michael Savage, telling him it's wonderful that the Russians were really hitting ISIS hard in Syria. Isikoff, is that a bad thing that he was hitting ISIS hard in Syria, you moron, you? You know what they'd do to you and your ilk? You know what ISIS would do to you, Isikoff? They'd throw you down a well. Savage asks, have you ever met Vladimir Putin? Yes, Trump answers emphatically. You have, Savage follows up. Yes, a long time ago. We got along great, by the way. Savage then asked, if you win the presidency, do you feel you can do business with Vladimir? Trump says, yes, I do. I think I would get along very well. I had the Miss Universe pageant, believe it or not, in Moscow 2 years ago. I got many of the Russian leaders, the top people in Russia, honestly. These are people, they are looking to do things. Then the left-wing fanatics go on to say, Trump's responses to Savage add to the confusing, flatly contradictory comments the president-elect has made about his past dealings with the Russian president. Well, you get the whole picture. The narrative is Russia. Russia bad. This is funny to children of communists who revere Joseph Stalin. Somehow they hate Putin. I don't get that part of it. But they can't get enough of Putin. But as I said yesterday, if they discover that the number one salad dressing served at Trump's Mar-a-Lago is Russian dressing, I'm positive that will be a result that will result in a Senate hearing, probably run by some jackass or other from San Francisco. Is it true, Mr. Trump, that Russian dressing is the number one dressing you serve at Mar-a-Lago? Yes or no, sir? We don't want anything equivocal here. You get the whole picture. Okay, so what do I make of this? Tape shows Trump contradicting himself on Putin meeting. That's the headline. And I saw it on Newsmax. The headline was a little different. Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage. So what is my take on this? Simple. It only serves to undermine Trump with an unimportant inaccuracy. In the end, who cares if he met Putin once before in his life as a businessman? Do you know that some of the other candidates had met Putin? Fiorina, for example, talked about it in particular. But what does that really mean? When you're a billionaire, businessman, you meet lots of foreign leaders. This was before he was running. That's one thing I want to say. In other words, he met Putin a long time ago in a superficial social or business situation before he even ran for the presidency. And I think that would be consistent with his statements that he never discussed issues connected with the 2016 election with Putin. So what is the big deal? The answer is no big deal. The answer is anything they can do to throw mud at Trump, they will do. And now they're trying to smear me and get a twofer out of it. That's standard for us, Isakov, a man who would like to be relevant again, but he was not relevant when he was relevant. Even when Isakov was relevant, he was irrelevant. But what does it really mean that they're trying to pit me against Trump and Trump against me? What it means is they're trying to drive a wedge between the Donald Trump transition team and Michael Savage. Well, maybe they have, maybe they haven't, maybe they'll say he should never go on my show again. But I actually didn't set him up with the question. I just had a wonderful interview with Donald Trump on October 6, 2015, which you'll hear in a moment. And he admitted he met Putin. Listen to the short version of this in number two. Have you met Vladimir Putin?
Yes.
You have?
One time, yes, long time ago.
Do you feel...
I'm with him, great, by the way.
I'm saying if you do win the presidency, and I certainly hope you do, do you feel that you could do business with Vladimir?
Yes, I do. I mean, that's what I do. You know, deals are people. Deals aren't deals. Deals are people. Yes, I think I would get along very well. I had the big Miss Universe pageant in, believe it or not, in Moscow 2 years ago. I got to know so many of the Russian leaders and the top people in Russia. I mean, honestly, these are people. They're looking to do things.
All right. By the way, it sounds like they're speeding his tape up. That's not the cadence of Donald Trump. This came from the people, the opposition people. I think they're speeding up the tape to make it sound different. Well, whatever. They didn't change the words to their credit. So what actually is about the... Why is this a scandal? I don't know. I don't think it's a scandal. A real scandal is that the U.S. President Barack Obama is going to leave the White House as a very rich man, and as well as Michelle, and we found out how much he is worth. Have any of you asked how the outgoing liar has been able to buy three big houses in the last 3 months? Three big houses. He only makes $400,000 a year. Where did he get the money to buy three big houses? To me, that's a bigger scandal. And by the way, Isakov, here's another big scandal for you. Obama today made a wave of final appointments for well-connected friends and celebrities. Did you know that? That's also a scandal, but of course, apparently you don't see that. You're blind in one eye. But like all Cyclops, your limited vision is quite entertaining to those of us who have global vision. So what am I going to ask you, the audience? Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage. The left is trying to make it into a big deal. Is it a big deal? Well, I don't know. Do you think you want to hear the whole interview? I hope so, because you're going to hear it anyway. The phone number here is 855-407-282 if you get a comment on this story. Obama commuted the sentence of the mastermind of the 70s Puerto Rican terror group attack on U.S. Congress. Do you know about that attack? This is a big story. Obama commutes 55-year sentence of controversial mastermind of 1970s Puerto Rican terror group. It terrorized New York in the 70s, and Obama's going to release him on the streets to commit more terror. President Obama granted a commutation Tuesday to FALN mastermind Oscar Lopez Rivera, who has served 35 years of his 55-year sentence. Now, during the 70s and 80s, Lopez Rivera was part of FALN, or Fuerzas Armadas de Liberación Nacional, a group seeking to liberate Puerto Rico from U.S. control. I wish they would. I frankly wish that Puerto Rico would be cut off from the U.S. It's a small state comparatively. What percentage of the welfare money goes to Puerto Rico, I'd like to know? How many scandalous U.S. dollars pour into that failed nation? I wish that they would liberate Puerto Rico from U.S. control. I'm totally in favor of independence for Puerto Rico. But anyway, getting back to the big story here of why he released him, this guy was a member of FALN. FALN placed more than 130 bombs in American cities. Pay attention, leftists. You can learn a lot from them, including one in New York on January 24th, 1975. And the bomb went off in busy Francis Tavern during lunch hour. Four people were killed, including Frank Connor, a 33-year-old father. Are you listening to me? Well, why would Obama release a bum like this? Why would he do this? Former President Bill Clinton offered Lopez clemency in 1999, but the FALN leader rejected it. He said he wouldn't leave prison with another leader, Carlos Torres, still inside. Torres was paroled in 2010, leaving Lopez as the lone felon prisoner. Well, anyway, why do you want this man on the streets? City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Villaverto in New York City hails from Puerto Rico. She lobbied hard for this murderer's release. She said she was overwhelmed when she heard of the commutation. Why is it that an ethnic connection, some limited DNA connection to a person, trumps both the law and common sense? Why is it that if you're a member of an ethnic group, suddenly you align yourself with members of your ethnic group, even if they're murderers? Can anyone explain that to me? Why is it that so many ethnic groups revert to tribalism? Can anyone explain that to me? Well, I'll answer the question for you in many different ways. I can take that one on pretty clearly. I'll give you an example from my own life. There was a Jewish terrorist. He was actually a spy. And Israel lobbied for his release. A lot of Jews lobbied for his release. I said they should keep him in jail forever. Do you remember his name? Well, who am I talking about? No, dead in the water. I don't think anyone has a collective memory. But Mayor de Blasio, the communist, tweeted his approval of this. Thank you, POTUS, for freeing Oscar Lopez Rivera. Congratulations to all who fought for this day. Can you believe what this country has become with hardcore communists everywhere you turn? Freeing a hardcore terrorist is inexplicable, by the way. And you know who agrees with me? Michael Palladino, president of the Detectives Endowment Association. He said, the president is insensitive to the lifelong injuries sustained by the detectives who lost eyes, legs, and fingers attempting to dismantle the bombs. Obama is ending his presidency the way he started it, disrespecting law enforcement and embracing criminals. Wow. Well, my friends, what more can I tell you? When is Obama going to leave us? When is he going to stop and leave us alone? When is he going to stop boasting and sitting up there and, you know, with the sycophants underneath his feet? Why is Obama commuting the sentence of the mastermind of the Puerto Rican terror group bombing? What is he trying to do here? I think you know the answer to that. Well, there are other stories, including the big story that I want to really talk about, which is Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage in 2015. I'm going to talk about that as well. And if you care to comment on that, you can do so by dialing 855-407-282. It's actually quite a big story for the media. The reason you're not seeing it anywhere other than on Newsmax is because most of the sites want to make sure I don't exist, number one. And number two, they're owned by the Trump Inc. Machine. I'm sorry to tell you that, but I think that I'm starting to see that Trump Inc. owns a lot of websites. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So, look, I'm going to stick to this story that I told you about. Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage because the smear artists are saying the following. Trump's comments prompted PolitiFact, whoever they are, some left-wing Stalinist group, to give Trump a full flop last August for his comments about Putin. The surfacing of the Savage audio seemingly adds to the confusion. What confusion? Its discovery comes just a few days after the Senate Intelligence Committee announced it will be conducting a full-scale investigation, including the use of subpoenas into the Russian hacking of the election, including any intelligence about links between the Russian government and any political candidates in the U.S. I hope Dianne Feinstein is the subject of a Senate hearing when Trump becomes president into her alleged self-dealing. That's what I'd like to see, a Senate hearing regarding the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee's alleged self-dealing, which has been an undercurrent in San Francisco for at least 20 years. Now, as far as this Senate hearing, they will go ahead with it to continue their narrative, and they're going to use subpoenas. I would suspect they're going to have to subpoena me, which I'm not looking forward to. I hate traveling. What are they going to ask me? Did you interview Donald Trump? Yes. And then what? What am I going to say? Yes. So what? Well, what? And then what? What else are they going to ask me? WABC Elaine, what's your topic? Welcome to the Savage Nation from New York City.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'm just calling in regards to the comments you had about the FALN organizer and how he has this sympathy for him because of his ethnicity. And I'm of the Irish descent, and I find it hard to believe that anybody would feel sympathetic towards the IRA if they were releasing somebody who had committed a crime under their...
You raise a very good point. I haven't seen Obama, who allegedly has Irish ancestry, releasing any of his ancestors.
And I think it's just anything that is... anybody other than a white person is sympathetic.
Yeah, and Elaine, aren't you fed up with the racism from de Blasio and Obama?
Well, why is it, Cam, that anything other than...
No, I'm asking you an emotional question. I have heard people, listen to me, very important question, no one dares take it on, but I'm known as a truth teller. I know people who hadn't voted in years who voted, you know why? They had it up to the top of their hair from the racism heaped upon them simply because they're white by Obama, de Blasio, and all of the other left-wing race mongers. Did you feel offended by what was done to white people in the last 8 years?
Mortified. You can't put your head up.
Thank you. And I'm telling you, no one dares talk about it. It's one of the hidden reasons that Hillary lost and this unknown businessman, who was a flawed candidate from the beginning, won. It's not that everyone loved Trump. It was anyone but Hillary. We wanted the left wing ended in America. Isn't that the reason we voted?
Absolutely.
And let me tell you something else. Every morning I wake up, all I know is what life would have been had she won, and I'd be watching her transition team today. Can you imagine if you'd be watching the Hillary transition team with all of those self-righteous left-wing phonies every day up there glowing about LGBT, women's oppression, unfair wages, people of color, Islamophobia, global warming, polar bears? Could you imagine listening to this rubbish for the next 8 years?
I couldn't imagine.
No, and that's why we voted for Trump. It's not because everybody was enamored of Trump. We know, hey, what did I tell you 3 months ago? I said if we get 30% of what he promises, I consider it a great victory. Well, I've narrowed it down to 10%. If I get 10% of what he promised, I'll be considering it a victory. Just the fact that she lost is 1,000% better than he won. Do you get that part of it? This is the only show you should listen to today, because it's mine.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I don't know who it is. I never like, I'm sorry, I'm not like knocking her personally. That style woman with the drape dress, with the large frame, singing the national anthem, I never went for that as a kid. I used to like hate it during a ball game. I used to get like that icky feeling. I never liked it when they sang that way. But anyway, let's get back to the news of the day. So, Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage. So the left is trying to drive a wedge between me and the Trump campaign. I don't know how the Trump campaign is going to take this. No doubt they're going to say, it's my fault. They're going to blame the messenger. I can't do anything about that. You know, when a new king arrives on the throne, the court around the king behaves almost the same way in every case. It doesn't matter whether it's in America or ancient France. The king's court draws a circle around the new king, and they don't let anyone in that circle who obviously would be a threat to the king, but who would be a threat to their own power. That's something you have to understand about how king's courts work. So already there's a wedge between me and Donald Trump. He probably doesn't even know I exist anymore. But he'll be back. He'll be back on this show. Oh, yeah. When he hits a stone wall, which will be in a few months, he'll be back on every radio show in America and try to appeal to the people who put him where he is. I could see that that's coming. And I don't hold it against him not coming on talk radio. I think it's very important that he go on all the shows that spit on him as he was running. I think that makes great sense. I think it makes great sense for Donald Trump to appear on all the shows with all the people who disrespected him and spit on him for all the months he was running. That's the way the inner circle works when they want to protect their own back end, not when they want to protect the king. And don't detect any bitterness in this. I'm past bitterness. I had bitterness. I'm through it. It doesn't affect me anymore. For a while, it bothered me very deeply, but truthfully, I don't feel it anymore. I'm being very cold and rational about how things operate in the world. But these things will change. Some of the inner circle singers will be off the stage before you know it. They will be seeing more of a liability than they are an asset to the king. And others within the inner circle who've been pushed to the outer circle, who used to be on the real inner circle, are conspiring as I speak to move the first inner ring out and move the second inner ring back where they belong, which was right next to the king. Now, if that's a little confusing to you, I'm sorry, but that's exactly what's going on. I'll repeat it again. As Trump was coming up, there was an inner circle. Let me be very clear, mainly family. Right? Well, the inner circle of family, the best I can tell, is a move to become a second ring, an outer ring. The inner ring around the president right now is not family. It's these newcomers, these interlopers who came along 3-4 months ago. And they're doing, I don't know what they're doing for him. I guess he considers them great because he wouldn't keep him there. Or he's using them as a competitive ring for the second ring, the family, to keep them slightly off base because he's known to hire people to compete with each other. So it could be that. But my guess is that shortly, the original inner circle, the family, will engineer or elbow out the interlopers who will be gone. That's my guess. This will not go on forever. Things like this are pretty easy to predict. I'm just looking things. Hey, look, I'm an observer. I'm an outsider looking in. I've never been an insider. I live alone. I have my family and a dog. A few people I talk to, and that's about it. I have no political friends, and I have no influence over any political. Well, wouldn't say that's not true. I have great influence in the sense of the court of public opinion. I have significant influence in the court of public opinion. In the actual workings of politicians, I have no influence whatsoever insofar as they usually do what they want anyway, or what's in their own self-interest. That's all. Let's take some calls. How's that? Would you like that? Am I doing well? How do you like my driving? I used to love truck drivers that say, how do you like my driving? And I'd like to drive, pull up next to them and give them a finger. I never understood that. How's my driving? It was such an arrogant statement, but we in talk radio ask, how's my driving? WMAC, Lisa, from Georgia. What's on your mind, Lisa?
Yes, I'm calling because I think your driving is a tad bit reckless. I think you're doing no better than the left by continuing this talk about hate, race, and blaming it on the left. The left is blaming it on the right.
All right. What have I said that offended you? Let's cut to the chase. What offended you today, made you call my show?
By saying that acting as if racism doesn't exist.
Oh, here we go again. All right. You see racism wherever you go. Wherever you go, you see racism. Could it be inside your own heart?
Until we admit...
No, Lisa, if you see racism everywhere you go, even though we had a half-black president, a black attorney general, many blacks in high positions, billionaire entertainers, billionaires in the entertainment and sports arena, and you still see racism, could it be in your own heart, possibly?
No, it's not my own heart. I experience it on a daily basis until you stand in my shoes, because you're a white man. I'm a black woman, and I have...
Oh, here we go again, but you're using a racist analogy to say what I am. You're calling me basically an inferior person to you because I'm not black.
Say that you were racist. What I said is that the world has a heart problem, and you're not talking, you're not helping your listeners by continually... building Barack Obama's leaving the White House with money. Oh, Barack Obama this and that.
He's a horrible person. He's the worst president in American history. He's a complete fraud. He's a phony. He has built the biggest police state in human history, but you wouldn't know any of that because you've been brainwashed into thinking he's such a wonderful, nice man.
You're sitting here brainwashing people and making him think that he's not. Wonderful person.
I'm giving my opinion. I'm giving my opinion based upon the facts of what this con man has done, as opposed to what the people in the media want you to believe he's done.
Heather, I'm not talking about Barack Obama. I'm talking about this world we live in where people are just hateful. Blacks and whites will never come together because of the color of their skin. But what they need to come together on is economic. Trump has surrounded himself with billionaires. They are cutting Social Security. They are cutting Medicare. They are cutting...
No, ma'am, they haven't cut anything. They're not in office yet. When did they cut Social Security?
If you look it up instead of looking up how...
What did you read it in the Atlanta Bernie Sanders Gazette?
No, but I didn't read it in the conservative news site.
Lisa, what you're reading is you're reading propaganda about what they say he will do when he hasn't even taken office yet.
Brian voted today. You need to go and look at Brian voted this week to cut Social Security.
Wait, ma'am, excuse me, where did you find this?
Cut health care to 30 million people, the poor people voting against their best interests because of hate, what you're perpetrating.
Okay, let's stop. You're getting hysterical now. What is it that you fear about Trump the most that's motivating this screed against him?
I don't fear Trump. I fear his followers. I'm not worried about Trump. He flip-flops every day. He's not going to do anything that he said he was going to do. He's already shown he's not going to stand on what he said.
So let me ask you something. If Trump actually tries to cut government, is that racism?
Excuse me?
You heard me. If Trump cuts government by 20%, because we all know there's a lot of workers in government who don't do anything, would that be racist if he cut government, the size of government?
No, if he can prove that those jobs are no longer needed and that money could be useful elsewhere, then that's fine.
Oh, well, that's a logical answer, but you know what the left is going to do. Since the government bureaucracy can be broken down by race, they'll say that although he cut 20% of the workforce, of the 20%, 70% were not white. They'll say it's racist.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you concerned about them cutting Social Security, Medicare?
No, not at all. No, not at all. Not concerned about it at all. I'll tell you why. Because SSDI, you know what that is?
Social Security Disability.
Correct. Do you know how many fakers are on SSDI in San Francisco alone? I'll give you an example. If you go to one cafe in North Beach, which is a region of San Francisco, and you ask the fake poets sitting in that cafe how many of them collecting crazy checks, you'd be shocked to find how many of these bums never worked a day in their life. Now magnify that by every artistic community in the country. Do you know how many bums are collecting fake disability checks in this country?
Do you know how many corporations that aren't paying tax?
Wait a minute. Let's not jump. Wait, ma'am, please. You're preaching to the choir on corporations that are not paying taxes. If you've listened to my show, now you're going to tell me you never heard it before, right?
We spend on social.
Lisa, can you be quiet for 1 second? Have you ever listened to this show before?
I was riding through town and heard the hate spewed, and I said, it must be calling to this station.
All right, so in other words, you're a paid caller. When did George Soros send you your last hate check?
Well, I'm not sure who George Soros
is. Right, take a walk. I'm not going to talk to you. I don't like you. I wouldn't care if you were my grandmother. I wouldn't talk to you. It's the end of that one. She's telling me about corporations don't pay their taxes. For 3 years, I've written 2 books about it. I talked about it every day, but Lisa didn't hear that because she comes into with such racial blinders on that she figures any white man who supports Trump is a racist. That, my friend, is the definition of prejudice. Do you know what the word prejudice means, Lisa? It means prejudging someone. So you've prejudged me because I'm not preaching to you what you want to hear. That would make you, Lisa, prejudiced. Now let's move on. What was I going to do for you? Let's take some calls. K. Eugene, Oregon. Jim, line 4, go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Wow, I was almost afraid I'd be on next after her, and I was. But I take quite the opposite view. But the reason I called, actually, was because you asked a question, and the person of which you asked that question earlier was Jonathan Pollard, I believe.
Yes, and you win a free copy of Trump's War the day it comes out. His battle for America. Right, and I was against giving Jonathan Pollard a commutation. You know that, don't you?
Yeah. But yeah.
So what I'm saying is, why is it that a Puerto Rican head of a city council in New York cheers the release of a Puerto Rican terrorist from prison who killed people simply because of her ethnicity, it looks like to me? And then I'm saying we got to get past this tribalism. And I gave an example of someone of my ethnic background, Pollard, who I totally opposed the release of, as an example. I don't say, oh, because he's Jewish, I want to see him released. I think he was a spy who should have remained in jail for life, by the way. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
He was unapologetic when he went into trial, when he went into jail, when they allowed the interview on, I think it was 60 Minutes or one of those.
Right, he stole classified data while working in the U.S. government and gave it to Israel. And that means that he committed a grave crime, and he shouldn't have been released. Where is he today, by the way?
I believe he's in Israel. I think they turned him loose, and under the agreement, he'd go to Israel and not come back into the United States.
And what could he be doing there? Is he living on welfare? What could he do for them?
Maybe he's running.
Maybe he's running like running a matzah bakery somewhere in Tel Aviv.
Or he could be running a computer system to tap into ours. I don't know.
There you go. He could be spying. He could be running Pollard's matzah shop somewhere. Look, the world's a dangerous place. There are spies everywhere. And when they get caught, frankly, I think, depending upon the level of spying, the punishment should be swift and long. It's that simple. Thank you for the call. I got to get to this. The big story, which they're trying to smear me and Trump together. They're trying to get a twofer out of it. Let's begin this right now and then come back to it. This is the famous tape that they claim they found where Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage, the talk show host that more people love to hate than anyone else in America. Let's begin clip one and play it for a minute, Robert. The very nice neurosurgeon, Ben Carson, seems to be channeling some lunatics when he said, I think he's channeling John Bolton, when he said that U.S. should not allow Russian jets to bomb in Syria, and he wants dogfights in Syria between United States Air Force jets and Russians. What's happening with Carson? Is he going crazy?
No, it's the whole thing is over there is, first of all, we're backing rebels. You know, they talk about the Free Syrian rebels. Nobody knows who they are. Here we go again. You know, we backed rebels going into all sorts of places. We were backing a government that turned out to be a fictitious government in Iraq. And look what happened to Iraq. You look at Gaddafi, what happened over there with Libya. I mean, Libya, we backed rebels. You know what the rebels did to the ambassador and to the other people. Okay, these are the rebels we backed. Now, again, we're backing rebels. And as far as I'm concerned, if Russia wants to start getting into the quagmire, you know, we're in there for $4 trillion in the Middle East over the last number of years. We spent $2 trillion in Iraq alone. What do we have for it? We have nothing. You know what's going to happen with Iraq, Michael, is that Iran, right now as we speak, is trying to take over Iraq. They're taking it over with the oil reserves, the biggest in the world, among the biggest in the world. It's unbelievable. So,
the beginning of the tape that the left uncovered, where they try to smear me and Trump together, it's from October 6, 2015. It's a fabulous interchange, and I'm going to play the rest of it when I return or in the next hour, right here on Trump's War, His Battle for America by Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, it's finally happened. Russia gave an angry, through Lavrov, a very angry press conference, and they're accusing the United Kingdom, Germany, and France of grossly interfering in the U.S. election by supporting Hillary Clinton and demonizing Donald Trump. I told you the same thing last week. All we've been hearing about is that Russia hacked the U.S. election. Hillary's loss was due to Putin's alleged meddling. And I kept saying to you last week, wait a minute. I have evidence, I remember it, the United Kingdom, Germany, and France grossly interfered by demonizing Trump, and I have the evidence of it. Well, now Lavrov of Russia snapped. And by the way, unlike the accusations of Russian interference on behalf of Trump, we can substantiate Lavrov's claim with simply searching Google from mid to late 2016, and you'll find one after the other attack upon Trump by U.S. Allies, so-called. Angela Merkel, the slime bag who destroyed Germany by flooding it with Muslims. Francois Hollande sauce, the most unpopular leader in the history of France, who is a socialist. Theresa May, who is now the leader of England, who, by the way, kept my name on the list of hated people in England. These leaders demonized Donald Trump during the election campaign. For example, last August, German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier called Trump a hate preacher because he said that parts of London are no-go areas, which is true. UK Foreign Secretary, the commie, Red Boris Johnson, said that Trump is unfit to be U.S. president. And so we've seen meddling by UK, French, and German leaders in our election. How about a Senate intelligence hearing on that, Dianne Feinstein? This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The San Francisco icon, the icon of San Francisco, an icon of San Francisco, the San Francisco icon, Tony Bennett. Yeah, okay, it's a beautiful city, don't get me wrong. I'll be there tonight at a special event, that's fine. Obama's leave White House very wealthy indeed. Joe over by Biden gave a speech at the World Economic Forum where he said that the progressive democratic world order is at risk of collapse. No kidding, Joe. You mean the people caught on to the racket that you and your goon squads were engaging in? Vice President Joe over by Biden delivered an epic final speech Wednesday to the elites at the World Economic Forum in Davos. And then he said the Western democracies are great, but that the liberal world order, W-H-O-R-L-E-D, that's my spelling, the liberal world order is going to be torn apart. And then, of course, he did some Russia bashing. He did the Russian dressing. Were they serving Russian dressing at Davos? If they were, it could be a result of Trump. I think that they ought to investigate whether Trump or any of his family members have any investments in any companies that sell Russian dressing, salad dressing, because if they can prove in a Senate hearing that anyone in the Trump inner circle, for that matter, has any money invested in any company that sells Russian dressing, I think that would be proof positive for the congresswomen of the Democrat stripe that there's cyber aggression in the salad dressing and that, I mean, somehow it meddled in the U.S. election. Because if you analyze how many people use Russian dressing on a regular basis, there's probably some secret ingredient put in there by Trump to brainwash them against Obama, who, as you well know, is the finest man in the history of the world. At the outset of his speech, Joe Biden implored the media not to hear his speech as a shot at President Trump, right? No. All right, you get the picture. They're gone. Out with the old, in with the new. They're all freaking out. Take a look at their faces from Jab. Look at the faces on the Drudge Report, and you'll see why the world is in disorder. Take a look at these creeps who ran this government around Trump. Look at the faces of these losers. Left-wing ideologues, bigots, stupid people, those owned by foreign governments like Iran. There they are. It's the face of this disorder. That's the world disorder right there. The stupidest people on the planet were running this country while Obama was golfing. George H.W. Bush admitted to ICU, wife Barbara also hospitalized. That's one of those strange stories that when the husband gets, when they're married so long, you know, one dies a week after the other, a day. I've read those stories. Well, one gets sick, the other gets sick. They're so tied, you know. It's a beautiful thing from those years. Those years, people had that. They were so closely knit, those couples in those days. Not today, no. There may be some here and there. Some of you probably are like that. You good conservatives are married like that. But it's unusual today. What else is in the news? I don't know. Look, my story you don't want to talk about, so what can I do? It was a huge story this morning. It didn't play well on the show. Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage. It went over like a dud. And for that reason alone, I'm going to pick up in the interview from October 6, 2015, where Trump appeared on this very show that they're trying to make into a big Megillah. Listen to clip one from that point on.
How about Vladimir Putin? I happen to support him. He's the only one taking on ISIS. He's the only one who's degraded them in a week while Obama has lied for a year now about taking them on. Do you support or oppose Russia's bombing campaign against ISIS?
Well, it's not a question of supporting. I think it's wonderful that Russia is, and by the way, as of today, they're really hitting ISIS hard. And you know why? Because Russia doesn't want ISIS going into Russia. It's very simple, okay?
Right.
And they were saying,
right,
oh, he's hitting other people. He's hitting rebels that we're friendly with. I spoke to a general 3 days ago. He doesn't even know who these rebels. We don't even know who these rebels are. They could be ISIS. They could be worse than anybody that we have. They could be worse than Assad. So, no, I'm surprised when I hear people talking like, oh, gee, isn't it terrible? They want us to start World War III in Syria. You know that.
I do know that. They're not thinking carefully. Have you met Vladimir Putin?
Yes.
You have?
One time, yes, long time ago.
Do you feel...
Along with a great, by the way.
I'm saying if you do win the presidency, and I certainly hope you do, do you feel that you could do business with Vladimir?
Yes, I do. And that's what I do. You know, deals are people. Deals aren't deals. Deals are people. Yes, I think I would get along very well. I had the big Miss Universe pageant in, believe it or not, in Moscow 2 years ago. I got to know so many of the Russian leaders and the top people in Russia. I mean, honestly, these are people. They're looking to do things. And, you know, Putin cannot stand Obama, hates him, and doesn't respect him. And that's not off to a great start. But how about this? He leaves Obama a couple of days ago. The following day later, he starts bombing, and nobody knew it was going to happen, right? That shows a total lack of respect. With that being said, if he wants to bomb ISIS, congratulations, welcome to it. Let's save a little money and fix up our roads and fix up our bridges and tunnels and schools and airports. You know, we're in there for, okay, $4 trillion between everything for the last number of years. $4 trillion. We've got to fix up our country. And we owe them $1 trillion, by the way. You know who gets the oil, most of the oil out of Iraq? By the way, you know who takes it, right? You know who the...
China. China does.
Yeah, China. China gets the oil. You know how much they've invested in the war? Zero.
Zero. Now, speaking of China, I read that China's sending in special forces to take on ISIS as well in an Israeli publication, Debka, a week ago, because the Chinese want to take out the Uyghur Muslims who are fighting alongside ISIS. They don't want them coming back and causing trouble in China. Do you care to comment on that, that China's actually working with Russia to overthrow ISIS?
I know China very well, and Michael, they'll only do it if they're going to get the oil. Remember I said, don't leave the oil. If you're going to leave, take the oil. Remember I said, you know who has the oil now? I mean, I will tell you, ISIS has oil, everybody has oil, everybody but us. We spend $2 trillion, we have nothing. But China will only do that if they get the oil. In other words, if China's going in, they're going in. They everything they do is about money. China will go in if they're going to take the oil.
Savage.
That's always a good interview. I don't know why they're making that into a big deal. Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Savage. So what? He said he met him in a beauty contest, and that turning that already into World War III, that they conspired to overthrow Hillary Clinton. Stupid! Who's going to believe that? President-elect Trump will likely issue as many as 5 executive orders on Friday after his inauguration, the Washington Examiner reported. I don't know what they're going to be on. They're probably minor. Of course, to the scaredy cat left, they're sure that the executive orders will be rounding up Muslims, rounding up Jews, rounding up the poor, rounding up people of color, and rounding up people who are disabled and putting them in concentration camps. That's what they're probably spreading around now in the newspaper world. And they're crazy. He will undo all of President Obama's immigration-related executive orders and will reverse certain climate regulations. Trump could also begin dismantling Obama's Affordable Care Act, according to the Examiner. But the left is already spreading fear and hatred that he's going to round people up based on ethnicity. And it's unbelievable, the hysteria going on right now. He's not going to do any of that. So, okay, he'll dismantle the mess of the last 8 years of the globalist establishment. And happy days will be here again. The skies will be clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. It's been very, very sad for 8 years now since this con man was sworn into office. Very, very sad. And I think that will be a new world order that we're all going to benefit from, incidentally. Would you care to comment on any of these stories? That means you're a very, very unhappy, sad person who has nothing better to do. So I don't expect you to call 855-400-7282. Most people have better things to do than listen to talk radio. But it doesn't mean that if you're listening to talk radio, you're a loser. Don't get me wrong. I think it's very important to listen to talk radio because we just changed the course of human history. This show is one of the prominent shows that put Trump in power. I'll admit it. No doubt they'll say that I had Russian dressing with Trump at some point at Mar-a-Lago and we conspired to overthrow Hillary Clinton. You know, there may be a degree of truth. I remember I did... When I first met Donald Trump a few years ago at Mar-a-Lago, now that I think about it, you know the first thing I said to him? I said, your lettuce is excellent. That was the first thing I ever said to Donald Trump. I said, your lettuce on the buffet line is crisp. And he smiled. He said, yes, I pay very close attention to everything in all of my ventures. And, you know, to me, what I was saying is, if the lettuce was crisp on his buffet line, it means that he pays attention to detail. Now, I suspect that the left will probably try to turn it into a conspiracy to overthrow the government. of a Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton to prevent her from becoming president, that by mentioning lettuce, I was probably implying Russian dressing. And that I was winking that if he had Russian dressing, it was a secret, like a wink, that we were going to conspire to overthrow Hillary Clinton's presidency by having a salad together. That'll probably appear next in the Newsweek. All right, that's all. One thing is for sure, you don't know this. Obama drinks alcohol. Did you know that? Have you ever seen him shown drinking alcohol? Have you ever seen him shown depicted drunk? Have you ever seen him shown drinking? No. But you know that Donald Trump does not drink alcohol? Did you know that? I don't think you know that. It's a big deal. He's a teetotaler. That's a huge deal. I mean, that was one of the things I learned when I first met him. I thought that was very impressive, is that he doesn't drink. Now, most presidents are big drinkers. Hillary was a shicker. She knocked it down hard. She slammed him down. I don't know if she had neurological. I think it was more tipsy. You know, that type. I think she drank an awful lot to blow off the tension. Well, she didn't win, though. That's the good news. And they're all boo-hooing. They need Pampers now. And I guess they're going to need... what do you give babies who are crying? I think 30% of Democrats are not boycotting Trump's inauguration. 30% of all Democrats in office are boycotting Trump's inauguration. I think we should provide them with Pampers and pacifiers at government expense. In fact, I think some smart entrepreneur is going to make some kind of pacifier and put something on it to do with this somehow. You know, boo-hoo, all of the snowflakes. They don't know what's coming. And there's Obama giving his last speech again, aggrandizing himself, trying to drive a wedge between the American people. You know, he can't resist. It's the scorpion thing. Why did the scorpion do it? Because he can. Poll says almost 70% of Americans don't like Trump's Twitter use. That's an interesting one. Almost 70% of Americans, let's see who did this poll, if it's a fake poll or not. NBC Wall Street Journal poll reveals nearly 7 in 10 Americans say President-elect Trump's use of Twitter is a bad idea. Here are the poll highlights. 69% agree that his use of Twitter is bad because, quote, in an instant, messages can have unintended major implications without careful review. I agree with that. 26% agree Trump's tweeting was good because, quote, it allows a president to directly communicate to people immediately. I don't agree with that. I actually agree with that. I think you should stop it. 47% of Republicans said his use of Twitter is a bad thing. 89% of Democrats say his use of Twitter is bad. Well, if you interviewed Democrats and you asked if Trump's use of toothpaste is good or bad, I would say 93% of Democrats would say that Trump's brushing his teeth is bad, while 7% would say that Trump's use of toothpaste is good. So, you know, look, you could load up a poll any way you want. 89% of Democrats said his use of Twitter is bad. Okay, so I'll do that poll. I'm going to ask you the poll question. Here's the Michael Savage poll. Do you think that Donald Trump's brushing his teeth is good or bad? 89-90% of Democrats say his use of toothpaste is it's so stupid, these polls. This is so addictive. It's so addictive and idiotic, it's beyond belief. But, I mean, if you actually analyze it, I don't think he should tweet as much. I don't. I think that he's... First of all, you make mistakes when you use Twitter. Is he actually doing it himself, or is there someone like... Does he have an official, like, Twitterer? A middle-of-the-night Twitterer? Or does he not sleep at night because he doesn't drink? And he's jagged up and can't sleep? I don't know. Why is he up at night doing stuff like that? I watch movies if I can't sleep. And years ago I would watch movies, not anymore because they agitate me. You know what will put you to sleep faster than anything? Watching old Joe Biden speeches would be one. Another thing would be stargazing. That would put you to sleep faster than anything. Reading letters that you wrote 30 years ago, if you still have them, that'll put you to sleep. No, really, what do you do to put... I use passion flower herbal tea. I don't have insomnia anymore. It's over with. I have such power over my mind now. I mean, knock wood. No insomnia, no medication, no drugs, nothing. I have a trick that I use before I go to sleep now. It works every time. No, it's not dirty. Stop it. I have a simple trick that I can use. I can tell you about it when I come back on how to go to sleep. How you'll fall asleep faster than ever before without medication. I'll be right back to tell you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Man who engineered Trump victory with Russian dressing. I guess that'll come up tomorrow on some left-wing website. Talk radio host who engineered Trump victory by dispensing Russian dressing makes unexpected prediction about the coming presidency. Crazy. He's not even president yet. They're already holding hearings on him. All right, so we have here on the West Coast, for example, the land of lunacy. We've been hearing about global warming now endlessly. Now we're getting saturated. They're crying about the other way now. For years, they cried about the drought. Jerry Brown turned off all the fountains, declared a water emergency. Now you need galoshes to walk out of your front door. 30-mile-an-hour gusts, 50-mile-an-hour gusts, three more rainstorms coming in. And they're blaming it on global warming again. Storms, one after the other, Mother Nature doing what she always does, which is surprising morons in the political world. It's unbelievable to me. Look at this. More storms coming in, and they're still saying that we have a drought throughout the state. The reservoirs are not full. Drought's not over. Not a time to put away our, you know, we don't serve water in this restaurant, that kind of thing. And they complain anyway. Whichever way it happens, they complain about global warming, and they try to scam the public. Accompanying the rain will be powerful winds that will gust up to 50 miles an hour, threatening to topple trees. It's like that never happened. Oh, a tree is going to fall over in the winter in San Francisco. Oh, my God, the Sierra is going to have snow. How do you like that? Wow, they're going to have snow up in the Sierra Mountains. That's shocking. Never happened before. Then they'll complain about the flooding. Well, they'll tell you the snow isn't the right consistency, that they have to, again, impose restrictions and raise the price of water.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Look, I don't like tweeting. I have other things I could be doing. But I get very dishonest media, very dishonest press. And it's my only way that I can counteract.
That's all. So that's why he does it. Now, I had a caller in the first hour, an African-American lady, who accused me of being a racist because I don't like Obama. In fact, I detest Obama. In fact, I hate Obama. In fact, I think Obama belongs in prison. And I don't mince words. And the reason is not because of his race, but because he's a stone-hearted liar and a communist. But more than that, he's a self-aggrandizing, pompous ass. And so she takes that to be racism. It isn't racism. He lies about everything. He's a serial liar. But this is the game the left plays. You criticize Obama, they call you racist. Well, a website called Grabian put together 13 promises candidate Obama failed to deliver as president. I'd like you to listen to it and tell me what you think.
Senator Obama, you said on a TV interview just this past weekend you didn't believe that Senator Clinton was able to unite this country. Why do you believe she can't?
No, that's not what I said. What I said was I thought I could do it better. That's why I'm running for president. If I didn't think I could do it better, then I wouldn't be running for president.
I will call for a standing bipartisan consultative group of congressional leaders as on national security. I will meet with this consultative group every month, and I'll consult with them before taking major military action.
That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime.
We're going to lead by shutting down Guantanamo. Our legitimacy is reduced when we've got a Guantanamo that is open.
I have said repeatedly that I intend to close Guantanamo, and I will follow through on that.
You know, I taught constitutional law for 10 years. I take the Constitution very seriously. The biggest problems that we're facing right now have to do with George Bush trying to bring more and more power into the executive branch and not go through Congress at all. And that's what I intend to reverse
by using a BlackBerry and a pen. Liar.
Let me say it as simply as I can. Transparency and the rule of law will be the touchstones of this presidency.
Sneak.
And will cut the cost of a typical family's health care by up to $2,500 per year.
And if you've got health care, we're going to work with your employer to lower your premiums by $2,500 per family per year.
Liar.
If you are a family making less than $250,000 a year, you will not see your taxes go up.
And when I'm president, I will go line by line to make sure that we are not spending money unwisely.
We need to eliminate a whole host of programs that don't work, and I want to go through the federal budget
double
line
the national
by line.
Debt, the liar.
Page by page, programs that don't work, we should cut.
The way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children.
Oh, my God.
Driving up our national debt from $5
trillion. The snake doubled it. This snake doubled it.
Presidents. Number 43 added $4 trillion by his lonesome. That's irresponsible.
And this snake raised it by $10 trillion.
That's unpatriotic.
I am announcing that going forward, the Democratic National Committee will uphold the same standard. We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest groups.
Oh, my God, what a liar.
How Washington works. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House.
We've all heard about what it's like to navigate the broken bureaucracy of the VA, the impossibly long lines or the repeated calls for help to get you nothing more than an answering machine. How is this acceptable in the United States of America? The answer is, it's not. It is an outrage. It is a betrayal of the ideals that we ask our troops to risk their lives for.
You made it worse. All right.
I will promise you this, that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, it is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war. You can take that to the bank.
The military alone is not going to be enough. The Afghan government needs to do more, but we have to understand that the situation is precarious and urgent here in Afghanistan, and I believe this has to be our central focus, the central front on our battle against terrorism.
Generations from now, we will be able to look back and tell our children, this was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal.
Oh, God. Wow. Demagogue. What a madman. Not only is he corrupt and a liar, I think he's certifiably insane. I've said that for years and I stand by my words. I think we have evidence of the first president in American history to be certifiably a psychopath. And there's a few days left yet. I don't know who he's going to pardon that next. I would suppose if Adolf Eichmann were in prison, he would pardon them on some basis of some kind. Okay, 13 promises candidate Obama failed to deliver as president. You can take that to the bank. And I'm Michael Savage. And now we have the strange John Kerry. John Kerry, of course, stabbed Israel in the back. I know most of you approve of that because you're Jew haters. And you think that Zionists run the world because that's what you've been taught. But here's John Kerry. Where's the wife, by the way? All these years, I missed her. The mad Mrs. Kerry, the ketchup fortune woman who gave him his standing. She gave him the money, in other words, to give him the power to run, because without her, he'd have to make a living. Teresa Hines Ketchup Kerry, remember her? She used to give these long, crazy speeches that I used to get up in the morning praying to God like I do today, praying for a speech from Nancy Pelosi. Where is Teresa Hines Kerry? We haven't seen her. I hope she's well. So here he is predicting that the Trump administration will last a year or 2 years, whatever, in clip 9.
Take Iran, for instance. If the United States were to decide suddenly and say, hey, we're not going to pursue this and so forth, I'll bet you, I haven't talked to all of them, but I'll bet you that our friends and allies who negotiated this with us will get together. And that Russia, China, Germany, France, and Britain will say, you know what, this is a good deal, we're going to keep it. And Iran and the rest of it, and they will keep it. And we'll have made ourselves the odd person out. We'll have injured our own credibility in conceivably irreparable way. Not irreparable, it's time, and that's just too dramatic. But we will have done great injury to ourselves. And it will hurt for the endurance of you know, a year, 2 years, whatever, while the administration is there.
Okay, he sounds like he's got a hangover, very severe hangover, or jet lag, one or the other. All right, it can happen to the best of us. He gave the speech at Davos, at the World Economic Forum. It was a throwaway speech. It made no sense.
Now, Josh Ernst, the outgoing spokesmouth, the propaganda minister for Barack Hussein Obama, who is the worst man in the history of the presidency as a spokesman, who should be arrested and tried for crimes against the American people, has been given every medal of the in the world by Obama because he's such a good propagandist. Listen to this in clip 10 and tell me what you think.
Putin made a specific allegation, a pretty explosive one. He's accusing the Obama administration of trying to delegitimize the incoming Trump administration. What's your response to Vladimir Putin?
Yeah. First of all, it sounds like he got his copy of the talking points.
From who?
Well, I don't know. It certainly sounds a lot like what the incoming administration's team is saying.
I hate this guy. That smart alecky voice of his. That bright whizzy kid thing where he thinks he can say anything and get away with it. I just hope to God that karma catches up with Josh Ernst. That's all I can say. That's as far as I'll go. Here is Josh Ernst, the liar, supporting the traitor criminal Manning, who his boss just commuted the sentence of, in clip 11. Listen to this one.
Chelsea Manning committed some serious crimes, and she has served nearly 7 years in prison as punishment for those crimes. But it's also important to consider she took responsibility for committing those crimes. She expressed remorse for committing those crimes, and she has served her time. The 7 year sentence that she has served behind bars is consistent with the sentence that was handed down to other people who've committed similar crimes but got less attention for committing them. And the president believed that this was an appropriate punishment, in part because she took responsibility for him and she expressed remorse for him.
Okay, I can't stand this PC garbage. First of all, he was a he when he did it. That's number one. Stop with the she to show how PC you are. This was strictly an appeal to the LGBT mafia out there. Period. End of story. That's why you released this creature. The man should have been executed for what he did. I don't care whether he did a sex change operation afterwards. That has nothing to do with it. He was a traitor. End of story. Everything in this country that we've detested will end very soon. This is unbelievable to me. Now, here's Bernie Sanders, who thinks he's going to be president. My guess is I think that he will be needing, I can't say it, it's very impolite. It's not that Bernie Sanders is particularly old, but he's a delirious old man who thinks that he's going to be president. Here he is grilling HHS nominee Tom Price about health care again, which, by the way, is the number one issue for communists worldwide. Do you know that that's how the Castros came to power? They promised health care for all. Did you know that? And health care in Cuba is so great that when Fidel got sick, he called in a doctor from Spain. When any of the elite gets sick, they call in a Jewish doctor from Miami, secretly. They don't use Cuban doctors in Cuba, except for the peasants. Listen to 14.
Do you believe that health care is a right of all Americans, whoa, whether they're rich, whoa, or they're poor? Should people, because they are Americans, be able to go to the doctor when they need to, be able to go into a hospital because they are Americans?
Yes, we're a compassionate society.
No, we are not a compassionate society. In terms of our relationship to poor and working people, our record is worse than virtually any other country on earth.
We have the highest rate of child demagogue from Brooklyn
of any other major country on earth. And half of our senior older workers have nothing set aside for retirement. So
how
I don't
you?
Think compared to other countries, we are particularly compassionate.
You know, you ought to look into Bernie Sanders' wife and see how compassionate and fair-minded she is. You don't know this about her, but I do. The wife was investigated for committing fraud against the college in which she taught. Do you know that? She bankrupted the college she was running. That's number one. Do you know that his wife, the sacred Mrs. Sanders, sued the college that she was teaching in because they wouldn't give her tenure? That's what this couple is. Another, in my opinion, just low-life con men who have used the political correctness to get where they are. And all I can say is this rubbish will end shortly enough. Now, here's a thing from Franken, the comedian, the ex-comedian, where he's grilling Ms. DeVos, who will be the incoming secretary. And he asks her, Franken, asks Ms. DeVos about conversion therapy, where they convert gay people back to straight. Listen to 15.
Mrs. DeVos, do you still believe in conversion therapy?
Senator Franken, I've never believed in that. First of all, let me say I fully embrace equality, and I believe in the innate value of every single human being. and that all students, no matter their age, should be able to attend a school and feel safe and be free of discrimination. So let's start there. And let me just say that
I don't want to hear it anymore. It's like, are you now or you have ever been a member of the Communist Party? Standard tactic. Ms. DeVos, do you still believe in conversion therapy, which you never did? That's how they start the communists. Now, here's Ms. DeVos and Bernie Sanders on his free college idea in clip 16.
Will you work with me and others to make public colleges and universities tuition-free through federal and state efforts?
Well, Senator, I think that's a really interesting idea, and it's really great to consider and think about. But I think we also have to consider the fact that there's nothing in life that's truly free. Somebody's going to pay for it.
Tell that to a socialist. Someone has to pay for it. Who was it who said it? Margaret Thatcher, socialism is a great form of government until you run out of other people's money. That's something that Barack Obama never learned in college. It's something that Bernie Sanders never learned. Okay, so those are some of the roundup. That's the sound roundup. On the Savage Nation. When I come back, I have a real treat for you, which is what Democrats will blame Trump for before it's over.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. They're blaming Trump for everything now, and I wonder how far back they'll go once he's president. Perhaps they'll say that Trump is responsible for the space shuttle Columbia blowing up. It happened a long time ago, but obviously Trump is such a wicked man, and God saw that the deplorables would elect him one day, and that they would punish him and us by destroying the space shuttle 25 years ago, because God saw this coming. Or I would think that Maxine Waters might blame Donald Trump for 9/11. You see, the airline hijackers, the good Muslims, were not aiming for the World Trade Center. They were actually trying to hit Trump Tower. And they did that because Trump secretly told the Muslim hijackers that he needed the insurance money from the destruction of his property. I mean, that could come up, let's say, the first day. Or perhaps we'll hear from Chris Matthews that Michael Jackson died from taking too many illicit drugs, because he knew one day the white racist Donald Trump would become president, and Michael Jackson couldn't live a day longer knowing that, so he spiked himself to death. He might tell us that O.J. Simpson actually was set up and wrongly persecuted for killing his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. Everybody knows it was Donald Trump who did it. Trump also drove the white Bronco. He was just dressed in camouflage. He's that racist. We're also going to hear probably that George W. Bush became president because of Donald Trump, because Trump was in charge of the recount in Florida behind the scenes. After all, think about it. Trace it back. Doesn't Trump have a country club in Florida named Mar-a-Lago? Isn't it a prominent club? Aren't there a lot of white Republicans in it? There you go. So they were in charge of the recount. That's how Bush became president. Now, we know that everybody blamed Bush for Hurricane Katrina because he was a white president, and it hit New Orleans, which has a large African-American population. But I wouldn't be surprised if Samuel Jackson and Meryl Streep and Al Sharpton and Steven Spielberg and all the rest of them who attended the last event don't hold a press conference and say that it was Donald Trump who had the money and the resources to steer that hurricane with a special trick machine towards New Orleans, especially towards African-American neighborhoods, and that Donald Trump actually and his sons and his daughters actually put the charges in that blew up the levees to cause the flooding in the poor black areas of New Orleans because they're such racist people. But if that's not enough for you, there are other things that they're probably going to blame Trump for. That would be Samuel Spielberg, Meryl Johnson, Tom Sharpton. I'm mixing the names up so they can't sue me. My guess is that one day we'll wake up and see ABC News reporting that the genocide in Rwanda happened because everybody knows Donald Trump hates black people. And that's how he turned them against each other. Even though he wasn't president then, they had a sixth sense that one day this white Nazi would become president. And so they went on a rampage against each other with machetes cutting each other's arms off.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Let's get back to the news of the day. So, Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage. So the left is trying to drive a wedge between me and the Trump campaign. I don't know how the Trump campaign is going to take this. No doubt they're going to say, it's my fault. They're going to blame the messenger. I can't do anything about that. You know, when a new king arrives on the throne, the court around the king behaves almost the same way in every case. It doesn't matter whether it's in America or ancient France. The king's court draws a circle around the new king, and they don't let anyone in that circle who obviously would be a threat to the king, but who would be a threat to their own power. And that's something you have to understand about how king's courts work. So already there's a wedge between me and Donald Trump. He probably doesn't even know I exist anymore. But he'll be back. He'll be back on this show. Oh, yeah. When he hits a stone wall, which will be in a few months, he'll be back on every radio show in America and try to appeal to the people who put him where he is. I could see that that's coming. And I don't hold it against him not coming on talk radio. I think it's very important that he go on all the shows that spit on him as he was running. I think that makes great sense. I think it makes great sense for Donald Trump to appear on all the shows with all the people who disrespected him and spit on him for all the months he was running. That's the way the inner circle works when they want to protect their own back end, not when they want to protect the king. And don't detect any bitterness in this. I'm past bitterness. I had bitterness. I'm through it. It doesn't affect me anymore. For a while, it bothered me very deeply, but truthfully, I don't feel it anymore. I'm being very cold and rational about how things operate in the world. But these things will change. Some of the inner circle singers will be off the stage before you know it. They will be seen more of a liability than they are an asset to the king. And others within the inner circle who have been pushed to the outer circle, who used to be on the real inner circle, are conspiring as I speak to move the first inner ring out and move the second inner ring back where they belong, which was right next to the king. Now, if that's a little confusing to you, I'm sorry, but that's exactly what's going on. I'll repeat it again. As Trump was coming up, there was an inner circle. Let me be very clear, mainly family. Right? Well, the inner circle of family, the best I can tell, is a move to become a second ring, an outer ring. The inner ring around the president right now is not family. It's these newcomers, these interlopers who came along 3-4 months ago. And they're doing, I don't know what they're doing for him. I guess he considers them great because he wouldn't keep them there. Or he's using them as a competitive ring for the second ring, the family, to keep them slightly off base because he's known to hire people to compete with each other. So it could be that. But my guess is that shortly, the original inner circle, the family, will engineer or elbow out the interlopers who will be gone. That's my guess. This will not go on forever. Things like this are pretty easy to predict. I'm just looking things. I'm an observer. I'm an outsider looking in. I've never been an insider. I live alone. I have my family and a dog, a few people I talk to, and that's about it. I have no political friends, and I have no influence over any political. Well, wouldn't say that's not true. I have great influence in the sense of the court of public opinion. I have significant influence in the court of public opinion. In the actual workings of politicians, I have no influence whatsoever, insofar as they usually do what they want anyway, or what's in their own self-interest. So what actually is about this? Why is this a scandal? I don't know. I don't think it's a scandal. A real scandal is that the U.S. President Barack Obama is going to leave the White House as a very rich man, and as well as Michelle, and we found out how much he is worth. Have any of you asked how the outgoing liar has been able to buy 3 big houses in the last 3 months? 3 big houses. He only makes $400,000 a year. Where did he get the money to buy 3 big houses? To me, that's a bigger scandal. And by the way, Isikoff, here's another big scandal for you. Obama today made a wave of final appointments for well-connected friends and celebrities. Did you know that? That's also a scandal, but of course, apparently you don't see that. You're blind in one eye. But like all cyclops, Your limited vision is quite entertaining to those of us who have global vision. So what am I going to ask you, the audience? Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage. The left is trying to make it into a big deal. Is it a big deal? Well, I don't know. Obama commuted the sentence of the mastermind of the 70s Puerto Rican terror group attack on U.S. Congress. Do you know about that attack? This is a big story. Obama commutes 55-year sentence of controversial mastermind of 1970s Puerto Rican terror group. He terrorized New York in the 70s, and Obama's going to release him on the streets to commit more terror. President Obama granted a commutation Tuesday to FALN mastermind Oscar Lopez Rivera, who has served 35 years of his 55-year sentence. Now, during the 70s and 80s, Lopez Rivera was part of FALN, or Fuerzas Armadas de Liberación Nacional, a group seeking to liberate Puerto Rico from U.S. control. I wish they would. I frankly wish that Puerto Rico would be cut off from the U.S. It's a small state comparatively. What percentage of the welfare money goes to Puerto Rico, I'd like to know? How many scandalous U.S. dollars pour into that failed nation? I wish that they would liberate Puerto Rico from U.S. control. I'm totally in favor of independence for Puerto Rico. But anyway, getting back to the big story here of why he released him, this guy was a member of FALN. FALN placed more than 130 bombs in American cities. Pay attention, leftists. You can learn a lot from them, including one in New York on January 24th, 1975. And the bomb went off in busy Francis Tavern during lunch hour. Four people were killed, including Frank Connor, a 33-year-old father. Are you listening to me? Well, why would Obama release a bum like this? Why would he do this? Former President Bill Clinton offered Lopez clemency in 1999, but the FALN leader rejected it. He said he wouldn't leave prison with another leader, Carlos Torres, still inside. Torres was paroled in 2010, leaving Lopez as the lone Fallon prisoner. Well, anyway, why do you want this man on the streets? City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Villaverto in New York City hails from Puerto Rico. She lobbied hard for this murderer's release. She said she was overwhelmed when she heard of the commutation. Why is it that an ethnic connection, some limited DNA connection to a person, trumps both the law and common sense? Why is it that if you're a member of an ethnic group, suddenly you align yourself with members of your ethnic group, even if they're murderers? Can anyone explain that to me? Why is it that so many ethnic groups revert to tribalism? Can anyone explain that to me? Well, I'll answer the question for you in many different ways. I can take that one on pretty clearly. I'll give you an example from my own life. There was a Jewish terrorist. He was actually a spy. And Israel lobbied for his release. A lot of Jews lobbied for his release. I said they should keep him in jail forever. Do you remember his name? But Mayor de Blasio, the communist, tweeted his approval of this. Thank you, POTUS, for freeing Oscar Lopez Rivera. Congratulations to all who fought for this day. Can you believe what this country has become with hardcore communists everywhere you turn? Freeing a hardcore terrorist is inexplicable, by the way. And you know who agrees with me? Michael Palladino, president of the Detectives Endowment Association. He said, the president is insensitive to the lifelong injuries sustained by the detectives who lost eyes, legs, and fingers attempting to dismantle the bombs. Obama is ending his presidency the way he started it, disrespecting law enforcement and embracing criminals. Wow. Well, my friends, what more can I tell you? When is Obama going to leave us? When is he going to stop and leave us alone? When is he going to stop boasting and sitting up there and with the sycophants underneath his feet? Why is Obama commuting the sentence of the mastermind of the Puerto Rican terror group bombing? What is he trying to do here? I think you know the answer to that. Well, there are other stories. You know, there's a thing about power of positive thinking. It never worked for me. This whole thing about the power of positive thinking, how to win friends and influence people, that is such garbage. I hate that stuff. For some people, life just sucks, man. It's awful from day to night. It's just horrible. Well, on January 20th, 2017, at 10 a.m., tens of millions of Americans from coast to coast are going to set off fireworks and celebrate when the thing leaves the White House, takes the last free flight the night before, I think. Is it the night before he's flying to Palm Springs to get one more trip out? Oh, that night. That night, he takes one more flight.
He milks the taxpayer for yet one more flight. What a low-life bum he is. Oh, there's so many things I wish I could say, but it's a radio show. It's not you sitting in my living room. It's as close as you're going to get to what's really going on in my heart. This man, let's look forward, okay? Okay, let's talk about Trump's inauguration. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, great, 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 wonderful. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. The world's going to change for the better. Yeah, okay, let's hope so. The only thing I'm looking forward to is the smackdown by the bikers, the wall of meat. The one thing I am looking forward to at the inauguration is to see the bikers beating the pulp out of the paid protesters. Oh, would that be nice? Tens of thousands of protesters planned during Trump's inauguration. Really? Can you tell me why the FBI and DHS doesn't arrest these people from Berkeley, California, and elsewhere? They have names. They're boasting what they're going to do. Ads in 24 cities offer protesters up to $2,500 to agitate a Trump inaugural. It's from a group called Demand Protest, a San Francisco company. There's a person who runs it. They have names. If you lived in the same country, they'd be arrested because they're domestic terrorists. It's that simple. You know, there's a big difference between offensive speech and disruptive speech. Offensive speech and speech that tells people to kill. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. We all know that. But you also cannot say you're going to disrupt an inauguration. You're going to spray things on people's dresses at the Trump parties. Unless you have a president who is so evil that he doesn't unleash the power of the federal government on them, you see? So it's not that liberalism is a mental disorder. Liberalism is far more sinister than that. Yes, there's a degree of mental illness in liberalism. But there's a far deeper psychosis beneath the veneer of it that you have to understand. And that is that although communism has been tried many times in the world and failed everywhere it's been tried, the most recent example is 90 miles from Miami in Cuba. The Cuban people live under the thumb of one mad dictator. The other one dropped dead, didn't he, a few weeks ago? The other evil one died. There's only one brother left. One miserable Hitler is left in Cuba. A dictator, a mafioso, treats the Cuban people worse than you treat rats in a sugarcane field. And, of course, Obama reached out to him. He's kind of guy. Can you imagine if Obama could have had Cuba for a country instead of America? He'd be president for the next 70 years. Think of the abuse he could get away with, him and the kids and the wife flying around in Air Force One for nothing. Does that offend you? I hope it does. I hope it gets right under your skin. I hope it really gets under your skin. I hope you get sick and have to reach for Prozac. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I wake up this morning early, go on the internet, and I stumble on a story on Newsmax. Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage. Apparently, the vermin on the left have scoured all of my past tapes to try and nail I guess me and Trump to a cross. I don't know what they think they're going to achieve with this, but Trump was on my show on October 6, 2015, and during the meeting, we talked about a lot of things. It's a long interview, and they found something, this cretin, Michael Isikoff, a loser of the highest order, a left-wing fanatical hack, and so they run the story on Yahoo News. Tape shows Trump contradicting himself again on Putin meeting. I don't know why that's a big deal. And then they write the story, President-elect Donald Trump told a radio interviewer, well, that's a step up, Michael. Now I'm a radio interviewer. That's nice. I'm no longer a right-wing ideologue. Right-wing. That he had met Vladimir Putin one time, a long time ago, and that he got along with him great. A statement with the conflicts with his later denials during the campaign that he'd ever met or spoken with the Russian president. The newly surfaced audio tape, surfaced, like it's like a big investigative report here, uncovered by a political opposition research group. You know who that is, don't you? The most perverted, sick people in America, who even Joseph Stalin would have found too extreme. Could fuel new questions about the precise nature of Trump's past relations with the Russian president. All right, you get the whole picture. On the newly uncovered audio tape, like they did a Pulitzer Prize search here, released by the Democratic Coalition Against Trump,
Trump discusses Putin with conservative radio host Michael Savage, telling him it's wonderful that the Russians were really hitting ISIS hard in Syria. Isakov, is that a bad thing that he was hitting ISIS hard in Syria, you moron, you? You know what they'd do to you and your ilk? You know what ISIS would do to you, Isakov? They'd throw you down a well. Savage asks, have you ever met Vladimir Putin? Yes, Trump answers emphatically. You have, Savage follows up. Yes, a long time ago. We got along great, by the way. Savage then asks, if you win the presidency, do you feel you can do business with Vladimir? Trump says, yes, I do. I think I would get along very well. I had the Miss Universe pageant, believe it or not, in Moscow 2 years ago. I got many of the Russian leaders, the top people in Russia, honestly. These are people, they are looking to do things. Then the left-wing fanatics go on to say, Trump's responses to Savage add to the confusing, flatly contradictory comments the president-elect has made about his past dealings with the Russian press. Well, you get the whole picture. The narrative is Russia, Russia bad. This is funny to children of communists who revere Joseph Stalin. And somehow they hate Putin. I don't get that part of it. But they can't get enough of Putin. But as I said yesterday, if they discover that the number one salad dressing served at Trump's Mar-a-Lago is Russian dressing, I'm positive that will be a result that will result in a Senate hearing, probably run by some jackass or other from San Francisco. Is it true, Mr. Trump, that Russian dressing is the number one dressing you serve at Mar-a-Lago? Yes or no, sir? We don't want anything equivocal here. You get the whole picture. Okay, so what do I make of this? Tape shows Trump contradicting himself on Putin meeting. That's the headline. And I saw it on Newsmax. The headline was a little different. Trump admitted to meeting Putin in an interview with Michael Savage. So what is my take on this? Simple. It only serves to undermine Trump with an unimportant inaccuracy. In the end, who cares if he met Putin once before in his life as a businessman? Do you know that some of the other candidates had met Putin? Fiorina, for example, talked about it in particular. But what does that really mean? When you're a billionaire, businessman, you meet lots of foreign leaders. This was before he was running. That's one thing I want to say. In other words, he met Putin a long time ago in a superficial social or business situation before he even ran for the presidency. And I think that would be consistent with his statements that he never discussed issues connected with the 2016 election with Putin. So what is the big deal? The answer is no big deal. It's finally happened. Russia gave an angry, through Lavrov, a very angry press conference, and they're accusing the United Kingdom, Germany, and France of grossly interfering in the U.S. election by supporting Hillary Clinton and demonizing Donald Trump. I told you the same thing last week. All we've been hearing about is that Russia hacked the U.S. election. Hillary's loss was due to Putin's alleged meddling. And I kept saying to you last week, wait a minute. I have evidence, I remember it, the United Kingdom, Germany, and France grossly interfered by demonizing Trump, and I have the evidence of it. Well, now Lavrov of Russia snapped. And by the way, unlike the accusations of Russian interference on behalf of Trump, we can substantiate Lavrov's claim with simply searching Google from mid to late 2016, and you'll find one after the other attack upon Trump by U.S. Allies, so-called. Angela Merkel, the slime bag who destroyed Germany by flooding it with Muslims. Francois Hollande sauce, the most unpopular leader in the history of France, who is a socialist. Theresa May, who is now the leader of England, who, by the way, kept my name on the list of hated people in England. These leaders demonized Donald Trump during the election campaign. For example, last August, German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier called Trump a hate preacher because he said that parts of London are no-go areas, which is true. UK Foreign Secretary the Commie, Red Boris Johnson, said that Trump is unfit to be U.S. president. And so we've seen meddling by UK, French, and German leaders in our election. How about a Senate intelligence hearing on that, Dianne Feinstein? Obama's leave White House very wealthy indeed. Joe Overbite Biden gave a speech at the World Economic Forum where he said that the progressive democratic world order is at risk of collapse. No kidding, Joe. You mean the people caught on to the racket that you and your goon squads were engaging in? Vice President Joe Overbite Biden delivered an epic final speech Wednesday to the elites of the World Economic Forum in Davos. And then he said the Western democracies are great, but that the liberal world order, W-H-O-R-L-E-D, that's my spelling, the liberal world order is going to be torn apart. And then, of course, he did some Russia bashing. He did the Russian dressing. Were they serving Russian dressing at Davos? If they were, it could be a result of Trump. I think that they ought to investigate whether Trump or any of his family members have any investments in any companies that sell Russian dressing, salad dressing. Because if they can prove in a Senate hearing that anyone in the Trump inner circle, for that matter, has any money invested in any company that sells Russian dressing, I think that that would be proof positive for the congresswomen of the Democrat stripe that there's cyber aggression in the salad dressing. And somehow it meddled in the U.S. election. Because if you analyze how many people use Russian dressing on a regular basis, there's probably some secret ingredient put in there by Trump to brainwash them against Obama, who, as you well know, is the finest man in the history of the world. At the outset of his speech, Joe Biden implored the media not to hear his speech as a shot at President Trump, right? No. All right, you get the picture. They're gone. Out with the old, in with the new. They're all freaking out. Take a look at their faces from Jab. Look at the faces on the Drudge Report, and you'll see why the world is in disorder. Take a look at these creeps who ran this government around Trump. Look at the faces of these losers. Left-wing ideologues, bigots, stupid people, those owned by foreign governments like Iran. There they are. There's the face of this disorder. That's the world disorder right there. The stupidest people on the planet were running this country while Obama was golfing. George H.W. Bush admitted to ICU, wife Barbara also hospitalized. That's one of those strange stories that when the husband gets, when they're married so long, you know, one dies a week after the other, a day. I've read those stories. Well, one gets sick, the other gets sick. They're so tied, you know. It's a beautiful thing from those years. Those years, people had that. They were so closely knit. Those couples in those days. Not today, no. There may be some here and there. Some of you probably are like that. You good conservatives are married like that. But it's unusual today. What else is in the news? And there's Obama giving his last speech, again, aggrandizing himself, trying to drive a wedge between the American people. You know, he can't resist. It's the scorpion thing. Why did the scorpion do it? Because he can. Poll says almost 70% of Americans don't like Trump's Twitter use. That's an interesting one. Almost 70% of Americans, let's see who did this poll, if it's a fake poll or not. NBC Wall Street Journal poll reveals nearly 7 in 10 Americans say President-elect Trump's use of Twitter is a bad idea. Here are the poll highlights. 69% agree that his use of Twitter is bad because, quote, in an instant, messages can have unintended major implications without careful review. I agree with that. 26% agree Trump's tweeting was good because, quote, it allows a president to directly communicate to people immediately. I don't agree with that. I actually agree with that. I think you should stop it. 47% of Republicans said his use of Twitter is a bad thing. 89% of Democrats say his use of Twitter is bad. Well, if you interviewed Democrats and you asked if Trump's use of toothpaste is good or bad, I would say 93% of Democrats would say that Trump's brushing his teeth is bad, while 7% would say that Trump's use of toothpaste is good. So, you know, look, you could load up a poll any way you want. 89% of Democrats said his use of Twitter is bad. Okay, so I'll do that poll. I'm going to ask you the poll question. Here's the Michael Savage poll. Do you think that Donald Trump's brushing his teeth is good or bad? 89-90% of Democrats say his use of toothpaste is bad. It's so stupid, these polls. This is so addictive. It's so addictive and idiotic, it's beyond belief. But, I mean, if you actually analyze it, I don't think he should tweet as much. I don't. I think that he's... First of all, you make mistakes when you use Twitter. Is he actually doing it himself, or is there someone like... Does he have an official, like, Twitterer? A middle-of-the-night Twitterer? Or does he not sleep at night because he doesn't drink? And he's jagged up and can't sleep? I don't know. Why is he up at night doing stuff like that? I watch movies if I can't sleep. And years ago, I would watch movies. Not anymore because they agitate me. Maxine Waters calls for Trump's impeachment. They should
impeach Obama after he leaves office for what he's done to this country. But that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. They finally released a list of the lowlifes at the going away party for the bum. Celebs bid farewell at White House party, and look at that list. There's David Letterman trying to compete with Santa Claus. What does he think he is with the hipster beard? What is that stupid, ugly beard about, David? What do you think? It makes you cool? You walk down the street, you look like an old bum. You look like you're drooling on yourself. Look at the rest of them. Robert De Niro, another fraud. Another fake tough guy. I'll punch him in the nose. I'll knock him out. The minute he became president, he's licking his boots. I'll knock him out. I'll punch him in the nose. These are the people who expose themselves during the election. Do I have to say Meryl Streep? Do I have to say Samuel Jackson, who exposed himself, in my opinion, as a diehard stone racist? You forget what these people said? And you morons go to their movies. You idiots go to their events. You idiots pay to see them on television. You represent 51% of America. You could turn them off. You could end their careers, but you won't do it because you don't put your money where your mouth is. You let guys like me suffer for 22 years at the hands of people like this who control the media, who control the advertising business, who have boycotted this show for 20 years, costing me a fortune, and I do it anyway because I believe in what I do. And believe me, I've only gotten started. You know, this thing against Trump, Maxine Waters, what a jackass she's always been. You just say Maxine Waters, it's a laugh line. Maxine Waters, where else in America could a woman of this low intelligence be a congresswoman for this length of time other than from Compton, California? Where else could this woman have risen to such a high position other than in the United States of America? So she says if Russia helped Trump, he should be impeached. You got to believe that. Well, I'm not going to play it now. The sickness, the mental illness of liberalism has never been on display to such an extent that it is right now as Trump enters the door and as the bum goes out the door. I'm surprised he's not going to steal the silverware. I don't know what he's going to take. He's taking Air Force One for a last free ride? That doesn't turn your stomach? That doesn't tell you everything you need to know about him? Flying bum one on a last junket? Squeezing the last ounce of a freebie out of the people? It doesn't get you sick? And now they're blaming Trump for everything. Everything Trump did. Everything he's responsible for. Maxine Waters wants to impeach him. Listen to how far out she goes at a limb in a description in clip one, this lunatic, this idiot. Listen to this one.
If we discover that Donald Trump or his advocates played a role in helping to devise strategy, they're the ones who came up with crooked Hillary, if they're the ones who came up with she's ill, something's wrong with her energy, and the way that he basically, you know, described her in
keep
the campaign,
stretching it out, Maxie.
I think that is something that would put the question squarely on the table
right
whether
on.
Or not he should be impeached.
Right on. All power to the people. Bring it all down, man. All right, so we have here on the West Coast, for example, the land of lunacy. We've been hearing about global warming now endlessly. Now we're getting saturated. They're crying about the other way now. For years, they cried about the drought. Jerry Brown turned off all the fountains, declared a water emergency. Now you need galoshes to walk out of your front door. 30-mile-an-hour gusts, 50-mile-an-hour gusts, three more rainstorms coming in. And they're blaming it on global warming again. Storms, one after the other, Mother Nature doing what she always does, which is surprising morons in the political world. It's unbelievable to me. Look at this. More storms coming in, and they're still saying that we have a drought throughout the state. The reservoirs are not full. Drought's not over. Not a time to put away our, you know, we don't serve water in this restaurant, that kind of thing. And they complain anyway. Whichever way it happens, they complain about global warming and they try to scam the public. Coming to rain will be powerful winds that will gust up to 50 miles an hour, threatening to topple trees. Like that never happened. Oh, a tree is going to fall over in the winter in San Francisco. Oh my God, the Sierra is going to have snow. How do you like that? Wow, they're going to have snow up in the Sierra Mountains. That's shocking. Never happened before. Then they'll complain about the flooding, or they'll tell you the snow isn't the right consistency, that they have to, again, impose restrictions and raise the price of water. But wait a minute, if that's not enough for you, there's more. Loretta Lynch, who is the most incompetent, biased, bigoted attorney general that ever could have been imagined, she's far worse
than Eric Holder. Far worse. She was handpicked by none other than the lowlife Al Sharpton, who lobbied for her appointment. She had no qualifications whatever other than spewing racism and hatred in New York City. Listen to what she said yesterday at a speech in clip number 5. This is, wait, your attorney general. Listen to this sickness.
I know that while our accomplishments should make us proud, they must not make us complacent. We cannot stop. We have to work.
Right.
We have to work. And I know that in our pursuit of a brighter future, we still face headwinds. We still face oppositions. Yeah, we see it.
Here we go.
We see it, the waves of hatred,
waves of
intolerance and injustice that are still blowing in this country, and they seem to grow stronger the more that we achieve.
Oh, who's we? What do you mean we? Who's we? Who's she talking to? What do you mean we? What, does she have a divided America in mind? Duh. Yeah, she lives in a divided America. I don't. I unite America. I'm Michael Savage, the greatest uniter in American history. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, Michael Savage. I'm going to close the show today by reading a portion of the chapter on Trump's war to restore real science from my forthcoming book, Trump's War. I just want you to tell me what you think of this. Listen to what I write, because it's very counterintuitive for what you think I am. I write this: protecting the environment is patriotic. Did you hear what I just said? Protecting the environment is patriotic. It is a duty to your country, the human race, and to God. By protecting the environment, you're honoring creation and demonstrating the respect that underlies a conservative's religious and political background. Whales are the largest animals on the planet. Killing them isn't easy. It's very hard. Whale hunting is unimaginably cruel. Whales are social animals. They know when they're being killed. Their friends in the pod know when a mother is being killed and pulled apart by these vermin from Japan, Norway, and Finland. Whalers are the last remnant of a Neanderthal past. In a way, they're worse than ISIS, because the whales have no guns. They have no way to protect themselves, and they are some of the greatest and gentlest creatures on the planet. Just ask anyone who travels to California or Mexico to go whale watching, where they know the whales are safe. The whales swim up to the tour boats and open their big eyes, which are the size of saucers. They look back at the people looking at them, because they're social animals. You see, whales love human beings, and we reward them for their love and their trust by butchering them in the most brutal way you could ever imagine. It has to stop. Back in December, I had a guest on my show who was actually doing something about this problem. Paul Watson founded the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society to take direct action on protecting marine wildlife and ecosystems from poachers. His group operates on a tiny fraction of the budget Greenpeace operates on, but accomplishes far more. Now, Watson's group is controversial. They have been called vigilantes and worse by detractors for taking the law into their own hands. Admittedly, their practices walk a fine line. But they only exist for one reason. Governments, including our own, have failed in their duty to enforce international laws protecting whales and other endangered species. The poachers must be stopped. That's only a few paragraphs. I don't know, a few paragraphs from my book, Trump's War. And frankly, I'm going to lobby Donald Trump to become a very, very good conservationist. And as I pointed out yesterday, there's a huge difference between what you know as an environmentalist. They use the environment as a weapon to push socialism. They use pollution, they use global warming and other such scare tactics to grab control of the government and the budget. Then there's the other group, like me. We are not environmentalists. We are conservationists, and there's a huge, huge difference in that. We on the conservative side of the band should own the environment. We must not let the Marxists take control of the issue. And that's all to be found in this book, Trump's War. I'd recommend that every person listening to the show go on to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and reserve a copy right now. Trump's War by Michael Savage. Be with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Good night.